One verse I would like to read with you this evening from John chapter 19. John chapter 19, one verse, verse 34. John 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Read that verse again. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced Jesus' side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. This is the culmination of all the Lord Jesus' sufferings. When we turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5, we read this: he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'd like to quote that again with making a few changes. Something that I have appreciated over the years, the day that I got saved, the day that I trusted Christ for salvation, I did not appreciate this. All of that I appreciated was the fact that Jesus came into the world to save me. But I've come to appreciate Isaiah 53 and 5 and 6 in this way. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, my iniquities. I appreciate that. When I think of that verse and I think of this, and when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that they wounded him, they bruised him, they scourged him, they crucified him. And now in this verse, he is receiving the final indignities, and his side is pierced with a sword. And when I think of that, I think of a hymn. We didn't sing it, but it was 188 in our hymn book. But the second verse says this: why was he there as the bearer of sin, if on Jesus thy guilt was not laid? Or why from his side flowed sin-cleansing flow, if his dying thy debt has not paid? He went to the cross to save you. If you would but put your faith, your confidence in him. And I think of that, and I think of this: one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. That was not an accident. That was planned of God. It's a testimony of a finished work. It's a fulfillment of all of the drink offering of Numbers chapter 15. God, it's an indication that God is satisfied, that God is pleased. You see, The children of Israel were to begin every day at the dawning of the sun. They were to bring three sacrifices unto the tabernacle as they traveled through the wilderness. First of all, they were to begin bring a sin offering. And that was to meet man's need of forgiveness. And you will, perhaps you might remember that when they first crucified the Lord Jesus, he said, "Father, forgive them." He's speaking of the sin offering. And then upon the sin offering, they were to offer a burnt offering. And that was to satisfy the righteous character of God. And you will, in Luke's gospel, Luke has indicated, "Father, forgive them." But then at the close of the Lord's day, life, he says these words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And we're looking at now at the burnt offering. He has fulfilled everything of the sacrifice. But then there's one more offering. They were to bring a drink offering and to pour it upon the burnt offering. Every morning, as a reminder of their sinfulness, they were to bring those three offerings. And here we have the drink offering presented to us. But then I think of this in another way. Every day, the people were to draw near to the throne of grace that they might obtain mercy and find grace for the day before them. And that brings this thought to me. Have you ever sought the throne of grace for your forgiveness, that you might be forgiven? And as well, every day, each day, the people were seeking the forbearance of God because of their sin. And I wonder, have you ever appreciated the fact that God was forbearing with you every time you sinned? All those days when you have rejected Christ, God was moving in forbearance towards you. Because it says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that death to punishment was pronounced. And it could be carried out immediately, except God in mercy has forborne with you. The spear wound was a testimony of a work begun in eternity. And God in the counsels of eternity determined to offer you a way of salvation. And throughout our Old Testament, it's testified that there is going to be a way of salvation. And I would think of this, that the spear wound was to my mind, as I thought and felt over this in the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking of this verse. And it seemed to me that the spear wound was a testimony, the fulfillment of three statements the Lord Jesus made. The first statement was that I must be about my Father's business. The second statement is, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. And the third statement, I do always those things that please him. Well, take a look at these three statements that the Lord made. The first one comes from Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And we think of the circumstances around that. That the children of that Mary and Joseph have brought their family up to Jerusalem. They have celebrated the Passover. And then they have begun their journey back to Nazareth. They've traveled a whole day. And they look together, their family together. And Jesus is not with them. Where is he? And they go back to Jerusalem and they search and they search. And finally they find him. And he's there in the temple. And he's answering questions and he's asking questions. And the people are marveling at this, his questions and his answers. And they say to him, why have you troubled us? And he said, and Jesus said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? His Father's business meant this, that one of the things the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for were those who have exercised faith in God. And I thought of four different individuals that have exercised faith in Christ. I thought of Mark chapter 5, and there's a woman. And she's coming in the crowd and she's pushing the crowd. And in my mind, I envisioned her pushing the crowd apart that she might come through. Because she has one thing in mind. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be clean. And she reached forth and touched his garment. And immediately she was cleansed. And the Lord Jesus, turning around and looking upon her, could say to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And I think of that. He has not only forgiven her, but he's brought her into a family relationship. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And she has exercised faith as a faith that led her to seek him, to want to see him. And then I think of in Mark chapter 10, we read of a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he's sitting by on the roadside and he's begging. And as he is begging and as he is looking for a little bit, some money, that he might be able to live. The crowd, he hears a crowd and they're speaking and the crowd is gathered and they're moving by. And he inquires, what is going on? And they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And I think of this gospel meeting tonight and we could say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And we think of this man. And he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord has him brought to him. And you perhaps, and you children, have all been brought here to hear the way of salvation. And he says, that I might receive my sight. And I wonder, could you say that I might Oh, my sins forgiven. And the Lord Jesus saith, thy faith has made thee whole. He received his sight immediately. Then I think of a woman in Luke chapter 7. And she has come. She doesn't say anything to the Lord. But she comes. And it says, kneels at his feet. She washes his feet with her tears. And the Lord, speaking to the Pharisee that had invited him into the house, says, her sins, which are great, were great, have been forgiven her. And the Lord turns to her and says, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Then I think of a Samaritan leper. And that Samaritan leper, he is with a company of nine others. There's 10 of them there. And they're all crying unto the Lord for cleansing. And he says, go and show thyself to the priest. And as they're going, this Samaritan leper sees that he's cleansed. He comes back to the Lord and he worships. I wish that you would notice that in each of these cases, all four of them, that the Lord said, thy faith has saved thee, that everyone has come to the Lord. Everyone has come to the only one who could cleanse them. And we would ask you to come to the only one who can save your precious soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can save you. Your salvation requires faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. When we look through our New Testament, we'll find that of all the books in the New Testament, 13 of them were all written by one man. And that's a man, Paul the Apostle. And I think of the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking about the Lord Jesus coming. And he says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He was telling the people what he received because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed on the finished work of Calvary. How that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried. And he arose again the third day. And I think of this. The spear wound is a testimony to the fulfillment of the Father's business. I think again of that verse. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He came to save precious souls. But then I think of the second statement that the Lord made. In John chapter 4, he makes this statement. And Jesus saith unto them, my will is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. My will. And the will of the Lord Jesus Christ was submitted to the will of the Father. And the Lord Jesus, in speaking of his Father, could say, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always his will. And we think of what it meant for him to do the Father's will. And we read those words, he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go because there was one city that would come to a well who needed salvation, who needed the cleansing flow of the Lord Jesus Christ for her salvation. There were things in her life that she was not pleased with, but there were things in her life that she needed to have corrected. But all things, and I think over and over again of these words there, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And what she was asking them to do was to come and check. See for yourself. And I think of the Lord Jesus the day after his baptism. And John and Andrew are following him. And they ask him, where dwellest thou? And he says, come and see. And the Lord Jesus would say the same words to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's a rest, the peace of heart. A peace of heart that knows with confidence that you are ready for heaven's glories. I was reminded as well as I thought of these words of Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, the Spirit driveth or directeth him into the wilderness. The Lord, the God, through his Spirit, was guiding the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's will was submitted to him. And he was doing what God would have him to do. And it struck me in this way, that God knows all of your circumstances. He knows your fears, what you're afraid of. He knows what you hope to do tomorrow. He knows your limitations. And I think of that, he knows. He knows my limitations and that I must walk with this. He knows that. And for many, many years I wore glasses, and he knew that since surgery, I don't have to wear them, but he knew that limitation. He knows what you can't do, but he also knows that you can trust him for salvation. He knows that you have the intelligence and the ability to put your faith in the finished work of Calvary. He knows that. And I think of a lady that's mentioned in our Bible, Mary Magdalene. Before Mary met the Lord Jesus, she was a woman marked by an independent spirit. For her name means rebellion and self-exaltation. She would seem that she lived with this attitude, my will, and not anybody else's will. And that independent spirit of rebellion brought her under bondage. And Luke chapter 8 tells us she was under bondage to 7 demons. And you can go and you can say, my will, nobody else's will. I'll do what I want. And I'll bring you under bondage. It could bring you under bondage to a habit, to a manner of life that is destructive. But then Mary was cleansed, delivered and cleansed by Christ from the defilement, from her defilement. We're not told the circumstances. We are just told simply that she believed in him. And what did she say of the Lord Jesus? He's my Lord. And I wonder, can you say the same thing? He's my Lord. My Lord. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to his Father, could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Father was glorified by the Lord Jesus. How was he glorified? Well, Peter, speaking in the day of Pentecost, could say this, that he was a man approved of God among them by wonders and signs and miracles. And then he adds these words, which God did by him. How did God, was God glorified? His will was submitted to the will of God. He did what God wanted him to do. And I think of this. The spear wound was a testimony to the surrendered will of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. I'd ask you this question. Have you surrendered your will to him? Then the third statement I would like to look at is John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things. And we think of the Lord, of the Father's testimony concerning him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John accompanied the Lord Jesus up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord's countenance was changed in their presence. And there appeared with them Moses and Elijah, and they were talking about that which the Lord would accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking about his victory at the cross. And Peter wanted to make it 3 tabernacles. He was going to put the Lord Jesus on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. And the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And tonight we would ask you, we would say, counsel you to hear ye him. Hear Christ only. He's the only one that can bring salvation. At the beginning of our meeting, I quoted those words from Isaiah chapter 53. Behold, he was wounded, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the confession of one who knows their sins forgiven. And verse 6 of that chapter says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And that tells us, every single one of us have gone astray from God. But then there are some in our meeting, and they have been rescued and brought back. And they can with confidence say, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has done that which was pleasing unto the Father. But I think as well, Isaiah chapter 42, and it tells us again of him. The Father is speaking. And he says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's going to bring the way of salvation to the Gentiles. To you and I, he brought the way of salvation. The way of salvation is faith in the finished work of Calvary. I think of this verse, and one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The culmination, the summing up of all of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, for my salvation. We're all met at Calvary's cross. Have you taken that in and realized that this, that he came to save you? And you only, if you are the only person in this meeting who appreciated that, it's a truth that you could hold on to for the rest of your life. Jesus died for me. We sang that hymn, Jesus died for me. Can you say that with a truth that he died on Calvary's cross? Shall we pray?